Our next case this morning is United States against Jones.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stephen
Shannon. Mr. Shannon, I will call you when it's time.
I'm sorry.
We always let one's adversaries at least find a seat. Mr. Shannon.
I apologize to Mr. Gale in the court. Good morning, Your Honor. Stephen Shana on behalf of Andre Jones. Your Honors, I would like to focus this morning on the word or and whether or not there was an amendment as a threshold question in this appeal. There, in my view, was a substantial difference between the indictment charge and the instructions given. It revolves around the word or. In the charge, Mr. Jones was charged with the use, carrying, brandishing, and discharge of a firearm during the course of a bank robbery. During the instruction, as given, and was not objected to by me, the judge instructed and used the word or. I believe that that lowered and broadened the standard, the bar in terms of whether or not the jury could find Mr. Jones guilty of count two of the indictment. That being the threshold question, we then, if the court finds that there was an amendment, and I believe there was, we move along to the standard of review, which in this case is plain error. Was there error? I believe there was, and I believe it was substantial. I believe that it was plain on its face. Was it substantial? Yes, because I believe it affected a substantial right. That is the right, the Fifth Amendment right to be charged and found guilty.
Let me go back to the question whether there was any error. The prosecutor's view is that the grand jury charged that the defendant violated the statute in three different ways, committed three different acts that were independently illegal, but that any one of them is enough for a conviction. If that's the right understanding, where's the error?
Under the Bailey test, use includes all of the things that were charged: the carrying, the brandishing, and the discharge.
But it doesn't require, the Supreme Court has never said that you have to prove that all of those things happened to get. You can brandish and be found guilty. You can discharge and be found guilty. You can barter with and be found guilty. You can do all of these things. You don't have to brandish and discharge and barter and, you know, all of these things at once. And I think that's what Judge Easterbrook was getting at. The court has never said that all of these things had to be shown. They're just different ways of showing, and the conjunction and gets used.
I would agree with that. And I would say further that if he had just carried the gun, he could have been found guilty of the use. I agree with that. But
well, of course, you're wading into dangerous territory there, because right after Bailey was decided, there was a rash of cases in which we had to reconsider use of a firearm after we learned that use had to be an active thing, and we affirmed a great many of them on the ground that the record was absolutely clear that the person had also carried the firearm, and so that was the end of that. So if your record is clear on that, then perhaps this record is the same.
I believe all use, all discharge includes use, but not all use includes discharge.
Yeah, I understand that, and I see this as really your Harris issue, not this
one. Okay. Let me suppose grand jury says, and on date X, the defendant, in connection with a drug offense, pulled the gun out of his pocket, comma, thus brandishing it, comma, and shot it. Right? That's what the indictment charges. And either brandishing it or shooting it is a way of violating the offense. Let's suppose the jury thinks that he didn't pull it out of his pocket, that he put his hand in his pocket and shot the gun from inside his pocket, thus discharging it without brandishing it. What should the jury be told to do? Should it be told to convict or to acquit?
In the charge.
In the
instructions, in the instructions. If you find that he only discharged,
shot it without pulling the gun out of his pocket,
convict, because
you should convict or acquit.
Convict.
But then what was the error here? Because that's what this jury was told, that if you find he did any of the three things, convict him. I just simplified it by making it clearer with two.
Mm-hmm. Working backwards, he was charged under sections 2 and 3, small 2 and small 3 of the 2I and 3I of the 924C1A. They have substantially different penalties.
So well, they do have different penalties, but that's why what I think you're really doing is asking us, which is awfully hard to ask a court of appeals to do, to reconsider Harris, which for all I know, you know, there will be lots of law review articles suggesting that there's some pretty serious tension between Harris and Booker, but the Supreme Court didn't overrule Harris and Booker, and clearly whether he discharged or whether he just did one of the other things makes a difference as to whether you're looking at a 7-year mandatory minimum, 10-year mandatory minimum, or something else. But isn't that your real difficulty here, not the indictment per se?
The way you characterize it is correct, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But that, of course, drops us back into Harris. And unless Justice Scalia now changes his mind, Harris is going nowhere.
Or at least it hasn't gone anywhere yet, which reminds me of State Oil against Kahn, which I think has been cited here. You know, we may have trouble reconciling all of the things the Supreme Court has done, but
we may have trouble reconciling the two different majority opinions in Booker. There is only one justice of the nine who thinks that both aspects of Booker are correct. By a vote of, you know, 8-1, Booker is wrong, but...
So can you remand up? You were talking earlier about remanding down for the district court to find out what he was thinking. Maybe we can remand up to Justice
Ginsburg.
We can run around
screaming in little circles, but I don't know that that'll help.
If there's nothing further,
you're just going to wait for us to throw up our hands and run around screaming in little
circles. No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Gale.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Lenny Gale. I represent the United States. The good news is there's nothing to throw your hands up or run around. And in this case, this is a conventional application of 18 U.S.C. 924C1. What was conventional is the grand jury indicted the defendant for all the elements using, carrying, brandishing and discharging. The Pettit jury was instructed to find guilt if the defendant did any one of those, and the jury found guilt.
Now, I take it from your supplemental brief that as long as we're willing or believe ourselves to be compelled, or however we should phrase this, to regard Harris as an established fact of things, this is actually one of the few criminal cases where I might be able to say this, there is no Booker issue left.
That's our position.
Okay, because of the mandatory minimum,
right.
And that's where the judge sentenced.
Exactly. I guess further to the point is, first, we don't believe there was error in this case, and second of all, we don't believe that error is plain error. And
right, well, we know all the, you know, all this plain error stuff, but I mean, just to boil it down, because
Harris is on all fours. Harris is 924C. I mean, Harris is this case.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no additional questions, I'll conclude. This is a straightforward application. The grand jury authorized a charge that returned a charge that authorized the instructions and authorized the verdict, and it should be upheld on that basis. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Gale. Anything further, Mr. Shannon?
Nothing further.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.